السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Ulama Profile Program with myself, Ubaidullah Boja, this evening, the 13th of July. And you with me, inshallah, from now till another 2 hours' time. We say ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to our listeners in the UK. They have taken out some time. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them, whereby they are audio streaming the program live and they are then sending it over the different platforms in the UK as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them, the Medina Academy. And tonight we are profiling and we are speaking about the life of Hazrat Maulana Yunus John Puri rahmatullahi alayhi. Many a times when you do an ulama profile and you know that at some point or the other, Uzkuru mahasina mawtakum, the hadith of Rasulullah can speak about the good of those that have passed on. But there are some times whereby you feel it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's choice and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's selection of great individuals in this ummah. And you understand when you start researching the life of these people to see how much they have achieved in their life. One of the great scholars was making mention and he said that currently we are in the time of wafatul ulama. It's the year of the death of ulama. From the year late 2016 to 2017, the great scholars, the great ulama, the great shuyukh that we have lost does definitely lead a dent and a vacuum in the ummah. And for us, by speaking about these ulama, by discussing the life of these ulama, it serves as a motivation for us that if they were able to achieve it, if they were able to have such amazing qualities, then no doubt as an ummah, as people that were acquainted to them, that had relationship with them in terms of students, in terms of contemporaries, in terms of people that were following them because of their great knowledge, it gives us so much of motivation to want to achieve more in life. And tonight we discuss and we speak about the life of Hazrat Maulana Yunus John Puri rahmatullahi alayhi. We have had several guests on here. Unfortunately, there is a funeral that is happening at the moment in Saharanpur. One of the family of Hazrat Sheikh rahmatullahi alayhi has passed on. And hence, two of our guests will not be able to make it. In fact, three of them, they are currently at the funeral and it is the time whereby the funeral is on. So we're not going to burden them today and we're not going to inconvenience them. But nevertheless, inshallah, with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be inspired by the life of Hazrat Maulana Yunus John Puri rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Sheikh Yunus rahmatullahi alayhi passed away and was buried yesterday at the age of approximately 83 years old. His life and his dedication was that of knowledge. We will listen in the funeral shortly with regards to how much of dedication he had. But to give an understanding of how much Sheikh gave his life for the acquiring of knowledge, one of the conversations that I was discussing with some of his students, they would say that at times out of a day of 24 hours, 20 hours would be spent in research. Hazrat Sheikh rahmatullahi alayhi would spend 20 out of his 24 hours in researching, in reading, in spending time in the garden of knowledge. There were days on end, at times there was 3 days where he never ate food. He would only do one of three things. He would only either be teaching, he would be reading Salah, or he would be reading his kitabs. And within this, 3 full days passed, but he was only involved around these three things. And his life was given with the spreading of the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the ulama of our country, Maulana Ismail Gardi Damat Barakatuhum, who was one of those students who were privileged to have read the entire Ibarat and to have read the entire Bukhari Sharif in the presence of Hazrat Sheikh while he was teaching. So I asked him, Maulana, you know there's many things we could say in the program. What is the one thing that you could tell me that I could share with the listeners? He said, well, if there's one thing about Sheikh Yunus that I've seen in my life, is that it was practical knowledge. So I said, Maulana, when you say practical knowledge, what do you mean by that? He says, jo ilm tha, us par amal tha. What knowledge Maulana had, he was practicing on that knowledge. So So we need to ask a particular hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was teaching, or he was researching, or he was speaking of the Bab of Sadaqah, then Sadaqah was part of his life. When he was speaking about the Tahajjud and he was teaching, then that was part of his life. And whatever he would be teaching to the people, that was something that was very much practical in the life of Hazrat Mawlana Yunus rahmatullahi alayh. He would tell people, and Mawlana Ismail Ghari managed several times, he said, he told me this, that whenever I met Hazrat Sheikh Yunus rahmatullahi alayh, and I would meet him several times, because he had a special place in his heart for me, Mawlana Ismail was saying, and he said that there's one thing, whenever I asked him for any advice, he would say, اتباعِ سُنَّتْ كَاِهْتِمَامْ كَرْنَا, that always make it a conscious decision of your life to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That his life, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is something that you should be part and parcel of your life. And that was the life of Hazrat Shaykh Yunus rahmatullahi alayhi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him to such an extent that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for him to study, in the initial stages when he would go, he was taken ill when he was studying at Mazahirul Ulum. There would be blood that would be coming out of the mouth of Shaykh Yunus rahimahullah, and because of that, sometimes he would not be able to go to the lesson, or he would be at the door of the class listening. So Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi told him, why don't you go home, do some treatment, and when you are well, then you can come back, you know. And obviously the understanding that probably the illness was somewhat much more than people understood or realized it. So he said, Hazrat Shaykh, he told Hazrat Mawlana Shaykh Zakariya rahimahullah, that I can do treatment here and I can do treatment there as well. The difference is here and I acquire the knowledge in the presence of such great luminaries, which I can't go there. And as he persisted, then Hazrat Shaykh told him something which became a motto of his life. And he said, Fir yaha parere, then stay here. And that statement of Hazrat Shaykh rahimahullah, that stay here, became such an embedded statement in the life of Hazrat Shaykh rahimahullah, that he spent in excess of 55 to 60 years in the area of Mazahirul Ulum, in the place of Saharanpur, under the tutelage of great, great scholars. When I was listening to some of the talks about Hazrat Shaykh Yunus rahimahullah, then one of the scholars made mention of something very amazing. He said, Pehle murid tha Hazrat Shaykh ka, fir murad ban gaya. First, Hazrat Shaykh Yunus rahimahullah, he was the disciple of Hazrat Shaykh rahimahullah. But as time progressed, he became the desire of Hazrat Shaykh rahimahullah. To the extent that there was a time whereby Hazrat Mawlana Alimiya rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of India, he came and he wrote to Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahimahullah, stating that Hazrat Shaykh, I am looking for a particular hadith, but unfortunately I'm unable to find or locate this hadith. Can you perhaps find a reference for me with this hadith? Hazrat Shaykh rahimahullah said, Ya Yunus, ajaw. That, Yunus, come here. Obviously he was the ustad, so he could talk to him like that. So Shaykh Yunus rahimahullah came, and he said, what is it? So he says, I'm looking for this particular hadith. So he said, not a problem. He went, he researched it, he came back, and within a short period of time, he gave Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi the entire reference. Hazrat Shaykh then wrote it on the back of the postcard that was written by Mawlana Alimiya, stating the reference and everything, and also saying that Mawlana Yunus rahimahullah researched this. So Mawlana Alimiya rahimahullah, sometime later, when he came to Saharanpur, so he told Hazrat Shaykh that I would like to meet this Mawlana Yunus that had researched this for me, as I would like to know where he came from, and I would like to, because I've been looking for it for such a long time and I was unable to find it. So Mawlana Zakariya rahimahullah said, Mia Yunus, come here. So one person came, he had a lungi on, he had a torn kurta that was there. So he said, here's Mawlana Yunus. He said, no, I'm not looking for this, Yunus. I'm looking for the one that researched it. Shaykh Yunus rahimahullah, in his attire, was a very simple person. So he said, no, this is the person you're looking for. He said, no, I'm looking for the one that researched it. Hazrat Shaykh rahimahullah said, this year is the person that you have been looking for. One example, and then we go to our Ustad, Maulana Abbas from Darul Uloom Zakaria, who has recorded the program for us. And Hazrat Maulana Zakaria rahimahullah, Hazrat Maulana Abbas had given quite a bit. In fact, till last night, till past 11 o'clock, Maulana Abbas was researching the life of Sheikh Yunus rahimahullah. But before we go, there was one incident I would like to make mention. Maulana Abdul Rahim Limbada made mention of it. He said at one point, Maulana Tariq Jameel would come in the company of Sheikh Yunus rahimahullah. He would press his legs, he would malish him, he would make khidmat of him, understanding naturally the status of Hazrat Sheikh Yunus rahimahullah. Then after some time, Maulana Tariq Jameel obviously carrying on with his lectures, his tours, etc. And then he came back and he met Hazrat Sheikh Yunus rahimahullah in the haram. So Hazrat Sheikh Yunus rahimahullah looked at him and probably out of reformation told him, "You've become a very good speaker and very famous, but it seems as though you think very good of yourself and your ego is very inflated." And in the lahja and in the manner of Hazrat Sheikh Yunus rahimahullah, he gave him a mouthful. And Maulana Tariq Jameel rahimahullah, in his humility, he listened very sincerely and he took the advice in its stride. But this then began to worry Sheikh Yunus rahimahullah. And he would always ask for Maulana Tariq Jameel. And at some point later, they had met each other again. So he says, "You know, I scolded you that one time, but I felt very bad for scolding you. And I thought that before I leave this world, I should ask you for forgiveness." Hazrat Maulana Tariq Jameel rahimahullah said, "No, undoubtedly, I mean, a person like you should not be asking me for forgiveness, because you are our senior. And whilst people like y'all and seniors like y'all are doing reformation of us juniors, it is a great honor for us. But," Maulana said, "I fear that if I had to pass away before asking you for maaf, what answer would I give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" This was the great luminary Hazrat Sheikh Yunus rahimahullah ta'ala. Let's take a listen to some of the advisors and the sayings of our Ustaz Hazrat Maulana Abbas Sadamad Barakatuhum. It's in the Urdu language. We will listen to it now, inshallah. It's just about 20 minutes long. I will try and translate the lecture afterwards, inshallah. In the second hour, we have Maulana Yusuf ibn Maulana Shabir from UK that will be speaking to us, inshallah. He has spent time, he's also written an article. I also have some further information I would like to share with the listeners, inshallah. But this will take us till about 9 p.m. South African time. And once we return, thereafter we shall carry on with the advices of Sheikh Yunus and snippets from his lifestyle of 83 years where we have so much to listen to. So I'm going to ask our engineer, Brother Muhammad Salim, to pray. Allah. When we return, we will translate the clip for the listeners, and from there, inshallah ta'ala, we will then translate it and take further inspiration from the life of Hazrat Sheikh Yunus rahimahullah ta'ala.
سوانی خاکہ کو ذکر کرنے کے بعد حضرت کی زندگی کے چند کمالات چند اوصاف اس کا ذکر کرنا بھی مناسب معلوم ہوتا ہے. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا ارشاد بھی ہے, اذکروا محاسن موتاکم, اپنے مرنے والوں کے کمالات اور اپنے مرنے والوں کی خوبیوں کو بیان کرو. جہاں تک حضرت کے جو کمالات ہیں اور آپ کی جو خوبیاں ہیں, اجمالی طور پر ان میں سے چند کی جانب اشارہ کیا جا سکتا ہے. قرآن مجید میں اللہ تبارک و تعالی نے فرمایا ہے, افمن شرح اللہ صدرہ للاسلام. شرح صدر کی علامت کے طور پر آپ سے پوچھا گیا, هل لتلک من علامت, شرح صدر کی کیا علامت ہیں اور شرح صدر کی کیا نشانی ہے؟ اللہ کے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا, شرح صدر کی تین علامتیں ہیں, التجافی عن دار الغرور, والانابۃ الی دار الخلود, والاستعداد لیوم الرحیل. حضرت علی رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ سے ایک مرتبہ سوال کیا گیا تھا, مت تقوی, تقوی کس کو کہتے ہیں؟ حضرت علی رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ نے تقویٰ کی تعریف کرنے میں چار باتیں بیان فرمائی. پہلے نمبر کے اوپر میں فرمایا, الخوف من الجلیل, والعمل بالتنزيل والرضا بالقليل والاستعداد ليوم الرحيل. حضرت علی رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ نے فرمایا الخوف من الجلیل, اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ سے ڈرتے رہنا, والعمل بالتنزیل, قرآن مجید میں اللہ تعالیٰ نے جتنے احکامات بیان کیے اس پر عمل کرنا, والرضا بالقلیل, اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ کی جانب سے جو کچھ کے تھوڑا مل جائے اس کے اوپر میں راضی رہنا, والاستعداد لیوم الرحیل, اور آنے والے دین کے لیے ہر وقت تیار رہنا. یہ جو دو باتیں بتائی گئی تجافی عن دار الغرور والانابۃ الی دار الخلود والاستعداد لیوم الرحیل اور تقویٰ کے متعلق جو بتایا گیا, حضرت کی زندگی کا مطالعہ کرنے سے اور قریب رہنے والوں نے جو حالات بتائے ان حالات سے پتہ چلتا ہے کہ یہ تینوں کے تینوں باتیں پورے طور پر بدرج اتم حضرت کی زندگی کے اندر میں موجود تھیں, بلکہ یہ تینوں کے تینوں باتوں کا کوئی زندہ الائف ایگزامپل ہمیں دیکھنا ہو تو وہ ہمارے سامنے موجود ہیں. پہلے نمبر پر فرمایا تجافی عن دار الغرور, کہ دھوکہ دینے والا جو گھر ہے اس کے ساتھ زیادہ تعلق نہ ہو. ابھی اوپر میں نے بیان کر دیا کہ 1381 میں جب ان کو مدرس مقرر کیا گیا اس موقع کے اوپر میں ان کی تنخواہ صرف 7 روپیے تھی, لیکن 7 روپے کی تنخواہ کے اوپر میں انہوں نے قناعت کی. پھر یہ تنخواہ بڑھ کر کے 7 تک پہنچی, اور ممکن ہے کہ آخری سالوں کے اندر میں بہت زیادہ ہوئی ہوں, لیکن اس کے بعد بھی دنیا کے ساتھ آپ نے کوئی تعلق باقی نہیں رکھا. تراجم کی کتابوں میں یحییٰ بن معین کے حالات کے اندر میں لکھا ہے, یحییٰ بن معین امام الجرح و تعدیل 233 کے اندر میں 233, اس میں امام یحییٰ بن معین کا انتقال ہوا ہے. یحییٰ بن معین کے حالات کے اندر میں لکھا ہے کہ انہوں نے ایک مرتبہ اپنی انگلیوں کی جانب اشارہ کیا تھا, اور اپنی انگلیوں کی جانب اشارہ کرنے کے بعد انہوں نے فرمایا تھا تحدیث بن نعمت کے طور پر کہ کتبت بہذہ الاصابع الحمدللہ ثم الحمدللہ, میں نے اپنی ان انگلیوں سے ملیون حدیثاً, نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی 10 لاکھ حدیثوں کو میں نے لکھا ہے. انہوں نے اپنی انگلیوں سے 10 لاکھ حدیثیں لکھی, اور ظاہری بات ہے کہ جب 10 لاکھ حدیثیں لکھی ہوگی تو انہوں نے 10 لاکھ مرتبہ درود شریف بھی پڑھا ہوگا, ہر حدیث کے اوپر میں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لکھا ہوگا, اور حدیث میں فرمایا من صلی علیہ واحدتن صلی اللہ علیہ بہا عشرہ, ایک مرتبہ درود شریف کے پڑھنے کی وجہ سے اللہ تعالیٰ کی جانب سے 10 رحمتیں نازل ہوتی ہیں. یحییٰ ابن معین کے اوپر میں کتنی رحمتیں نازل ہوئی ہوگی اس کا اندازہ کیا جا سکتا ہے. بلکہ تراجم کی کتابوں میں یہ بھی لکھا ہے کہ ان کو دیکھا گیا, رؤیہ فی المنام, خواب میں دیکھا گیا کہ وہ ملائکہ کی امامت کر رہے ہیں مرنے کے بعد. ان سے پوچھا گیا کہ یہ کیوں, تو انہوں نے فرمایا یہ حدیث پاک کے لکھنے کی برکات تھی. یہی یحییٰ ابن معین کے باب میں لکھا ہے کہ آپ کی زندگی کے اندر میں کون سی چیز آپ کو سب سے زیادہ محبوب ہے, کون سی چیز کو آپ سب سے زیادہ پسند کرتے ہیں, اور آپ کی مرغوب اور آپ کی محبوب اور آپ کی پسندیدہ چیز کیا ہے. تو یحییٰ ابن معین نے اس کے جواب کے اندر میں فرمایا تھا کہ میری زندگی کے اندر میں دو چیزیں مجھے بہت زیادہ محبوب ہیں, دو چیزوں کو میں بہت زیادہ پسند کرتا ہوں. اس میں انہوں نے پہلے نمبر کے اوپر میں فرمایا بیت خال و اسناد عالن, اگر دو چیزیں مجھے مل جائیں کہ ایک خالی مکان ہو جس کے اندر میں خلوت ہی خلوت ہو, کوئی ڈسٹرب کرنے والا نہ ہو, اور کوئی میرے کام کے اندر میں رکاوٹ ڈالنے والا نہ ہو, ایسا ایک خالی مکان مجھے مل جائیں, اور دوسرے نمبر کے اوپر میں فرمایا کہ ایسی حدیث مجھے مل جائیں کہ جس کی سند جو ہے وہ اعلیٰ درجے کی ہوں. اگر یہ دو چیزیں مجھے مل جائیں تو وہ کہتے ہیں ذالک ما کنا نبغی, انہی دو چیزوں کو میں تلاش کرنے والا ہوں. تشبیہ دینا مقصود نہیں ہے, بات سمجھانا مقصود ہے. یحییٰ ابن معین نے اپنے بارے میں جیسے کہا کہ میں دو چیزوں کو پسند کرتا ہوں, خالی مکان مل جائیں اور سند عالی مل جائیں. میری حقیر رائے اور ناقص رائے یہ ہیں کہ حضرت مولانا مرحوم محدث اعظم ان کی زندگی کے اوپر میں یحییٰ ابن معین کا یہ جملہ 100% ان کی زندگی کے اوپر میں فیٹ ہوتا ہے. یحییٰ ابن معین نے جیسے اپنے لیے پسند فرمایا کہ خالی مکان مل جائیں اور سند عالی مل جائیں, حضرت نے بھی 7 سالہ زندگی انہی دو چیزوں کے درمیان کے اندر میں گزار دی, سند عالی اور مظاہر علوم کا ایک سیدھا سادہ کمرہ, معمولی درجے کا ایک کمرہ جس کے اندر میں وہ ہوتے تھے اور اپنی کتابیں ہوتی تھی, اس کے علاوہ کوئی چیز نہیں ہوتی تھی. 7 سال کا زمانہ اس طریقے سے گزار دینا, التجافی عن دار الغرور, اس کی زندہ مثال اس سے بڑھ کر کے اور کیا ہو سکتی ہیں. یہ حضرت نے عملی طور پر ہمیں بتایا کہ اگر کوئی آدمی دنیا سے کنارہ کش ہو کر زندگی گزارنا چاہیں تو آسانی کے ساتھ وہ زندگی گزار سکتا ہے. وہ گزار کر کے گئے, عملی طور پر پیش کر کے گئے اور اپنے عمل سے انہوں نے ثابت کیا کہ اس دور میں بھی, اس 15ویں صدی میں بھی اگر کوئی آدمی اس طریقے سے زندگی گزارنا چاہیں دنیا سے منقطع ہو کر تو وہ گزار سکتا ہے. یہ انہوں نے قولاً نہیں بلکہ انہوں نے فعلاً اس کو ثابت کر کے بتایا. اس کو کہتے ہیں التجافی عن دار الغرور. حقیقت کے اندر میں علم کی حقیقت جب سینے کے اندر میں اتر جاتی ہیں تو یہ تینوں کی تینوں صفات پیدا ہو جاتی ہیں, التجافی عن دار الغرور والانابۃ الی دار الخلود والاستعداد لیوم الرحیل. میرا وقت چونکہ محدود ہے, مجھے آگے بھی کچھ باتیں کہنا ہے, اس لیے میں آگے تیزی کے ساتھ جا رہا ہوں. حضرت حسن بصری رحمۃ اللہ علیہ سے پوچھا گیا تھا کہ عالم ربانی کس کو کہتے ہیں, یا حضرت حسن بصری رحمۃ اللہ علیہ سے پوچھا گیا تھا کہ فقی کس کو کہتے ہیں, تو حضرت حسن بصری رحمۃ اللہ علیہ نے فرمایا تھا کہ جس کے اندر میں 4 باتیں ہو اس کا نام رکھا جاتا ہے عالم ربانی, اس کا نام رکھا جاتا ہے فقی. حضرت حسن بصری نے فرمایا الزاہد فی الدنیا والراغب فی الآخرہ البصیر بے امور دین ہی والمداوم علی عبادت رب ہی. 4 باتیں حضرت حسن بصری نے بتائی کہ عالم ربانی اس کو کہتے ہیں کہ جس کے اندر میں 4 باتیں پائی جائیں. کون کون سی 4 باتیں؟ تو اس میں پہلے نمبر پر فرمایا الزاہد فی الدنیا, دنیا کے ساتھ اسے کوئی تعلق نہ ہو. والراغب فی الآخرہ, اور آخرت کے ساتھ اس کا بہت زیادہ تعلق ہو. البصیر بامور دین ہی, اور اپنے دینی امور کے بارے میں وہ بصیرت رکھنے والا ہو. والمداوم علی عبادت رب ہی, اور ہر وقت اپنے رب کی عبادت کرنے والا ہو. میرا خیال یہ ہے کہ یہ چاروں کی چاروں باتیں بھی حضرت کے اندر میں بدرجے اتم پائی جاتی تھی, اور اس کی وجہ یہ ہے کہ زندگی کا ایک طویل زمانہ انہوں نے ایسی حالت کے اندر میں گزارا تھا کہ نہ وہ عوام کے ساتھ ملتے تھے اور نہ کو خواص کے ساتھ ملتے تھے. نہ عوام کے ساتھ ملنا ہے نہ خواص کے ساتھ ملنا ہے, بلکہ ان کا عمل نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے اس ارشاد کے اوپر میں تھا املک علیک لسانک وابک علی خطیئتک ولیسعک بیتک. اللہ کے نبی سے جب پوچھا گیا تھا من نجات یا رسول اللہ, اے اللہ کے نبی نجات کا کیا راستہ ہے, تو آپ نے فرمایا تھا کہ 3 باتیں پیدا کر لو. املک علیک لسانک, اپنی زبان کی حفاظت. وابک علی خطیئتک, اپنے گناہ کو یاد کر کے اس پر رونا. ولیسعوں کا بیتوں کا, اور اپنے مکان سے بغیر ضرورت شدیدہ کے نہ نکلنا. 3 باتیں وہ ہو گئی چار باتیں حضرت حسن بصری کی ہو گئی, تین باتیں حدیث کی ہو گئی, تلک عشرت کاملہ, یہ دس صفات ہیں. اگر کوئی ہم سے پوچھیں کہ حضرت کی زندگی کا خلاصہ ہمیں چند لفظوں کے اندر میں بیان کرو, تو کہا جا سکتا ہے کہ پہلے جو تین باتیں بتائی گئی, اس کے بعد حضرت حسن بصری کی جو چار باتیں بتائی گئی, اور اس کے بعد حدیث کی جو تین باتیں بتائی گئی, اگر ان دس باتوں کا جیتا جاگتا لائف ایگزامپل نموذج حی اگر آپ کو دیکھنا ہے, تو سہارنپور کے اندر میں جا کر کے شیخ یونس کی ذاتی گرامی کو دیکھ لوں. لیکن افسوس کہ ابھی دیکھنے کا موقع نہیں رہا, لیکن دیکھ نہیں سکتے ہیں تو ہم سن تو سکتے ہیں. زندگی کے ابتدائی سالوں کے اندر میں ان کا ایک ہی کام معمول رہا, من الحجرت الى المسجد ومن المسجد الى الحجرت, اپنے کمرے سے لے کر کے مسجد, مسجد سے لے کر کے کمرہ. یا درس کا جب وقت ہوتا تو پھر یہ محدث اعظم اپنے حدیث کے مسند کے اوپر میں جلوہ افروز ہوتے. اگر ان کو تلاش کرنا ہوتا تو تین جگہ کے علاوہ اور کوئی جگہ نہیں تھی, یا تو ان کے کمرے کے اندر میں وہ اور اپنی کتاب, یا ایک مسند حدیث کے اوپر میں, یا ایک نماز کا اگر وقت ہو تو نماز کے وقت کے اندر میں وہ مسجد میں ہوتے. تین جگہ کے علاوہ کسی اور جگہ کے اوپر میں ان کو دیکھا نہیں گیا. زندگی کے آخری چند سالوں میں, 15-20 سالوں میں, بہت تلامذہ کی اصرار کرنے کی وجہ سے یا بڑوں کے مشورہ دینے کی وجہ سے وہ اپنی خلوت سے نکلے, اور خلوت سے نکل کر کے جلوت میں آئے, اور خواص سے بھی انہوں نے ملنا شروع کیا اور عوام سے بھی انہوں نے ملنا شروع کیا. یہ ہیں حضرت کی زندگی کا وہ اہم پہلو, جس میں خود میرے لیے بھی اور مجھ جیسے کتنے ہی طالب علموں کے لیے اور مجھ جیسے کتنے ہی درس و تدریس کے ساتھ وابستہ رہنے والوں کے لیے بڑا عبرت کا سامان ہے, نصیحت کا سامان ہے. یہ حضرت کی زندگی کا ایک پہلو میں نے ذکر کیا. اس کے بعد میں دوسرے نمبر کے اوپر میں کہوں گا کہ رجال کی کتابوں کے اندر میں امام محمد ابن سیرین کے بارے میں لوگوں نے لکھا ہے, امام محمد بن سیرین کے بارے میں فرمایا گیا, زحاکم بن نہار بکام بن لیل, کہ دین کے وقت تو وہ ہنسنے والے ہوتے تھے اور رات کے وقت وہ رونے والے ہوتے تھے. حضرت محدث اعظم مرحوم کے متعلق قریبی رہنے والے لوگوں نے بتایا کہ آخرت کا اتنا استحضار تھا, آخرت کا اتنا استحضار تھا کہ اگر کبھی عذاب قبر کا ذکر آ گیا, یا کہ کہیں قبر کا ذکر آ گیا, یا کہ موت کا ذکر آ گیا, تو حضرت کا حال یہ ہوتا تھا کہ یبکی بکان, آپ ایسا روتے تھے جیسے کہ بچے روتے ہیں, اور ان کے رونے کی آواز کی وجہ سے عزیز ان کا عزیز المرجل اور دوی ان کا دوی نہلے, اس کا منظر بھی دیکھنے والوں نے بیان کیا ہے, اور ایسے لوگوں نے بیان کیا ہے کہ جن کے اوپر میں اعتماد کیا جا سکتا ہے, جن کی صداقت کے اندر میں شبہ نہیں کیا جا سکتا, جن کو جھٹلایا نہیں جا سکتا ہے. یہ دوسرا وصفہ حضرت کے بارے میں بتایا گیا کہ حضرت جو ہیں بکان, بہت زیادہ رونے والے, ذرا سے بھی کوئی بات آخرت کے ساتھ تعلق رکھنے والی آ جاتی ہیں تو وہ اپنی آنکھوں کو قابو میں نہیں رکھ سکتے تھے. یہ دوسرے نمبر کے اوپر میں بتایا گیا. تیسرے نمبر کے اوپر میں آتا ہے, سعدی رحمت اللہ علیہ نے اپنی کتاب کے اندر میں کہا ہے, اس لیے کہ تھوڑے سے وقت میں تمام کے تمام گوشوں کو نہ ذکر کیا جا سکتا ہے اور نہ اس کو چھوڑا جا سکتا ہے, اور سننے والے چونکہ عام مسلمان ہیں تو اجمالی طور پر حضرت کا سوانح خاکہ جو ہیں اس کی جانب بھی اشارہ کرتے ہیں. حضرت نے خود اپنی خود نوشتہ سوانح میں تحریر فرمایا, لکھا ہے, حضرت کی ولادت جو ہیں اسلامی تاریخ کے اعتبار سے 25 رجب اور ہجری کے اعتبار سے 1355 25 رجب 1355 انگریزی تاریخ کے اعتبار سے اکتوبر کا مہینہ اور 1937 جون پور کے علاقے میں حضرت کی ولادت باسعادت ہیں اور حضرت کی وفات کے بارے میں جیسا کہ بتایا گیا 16 شوال المکرم 1438 انگریزی تاریخ کے اعتبار سے 11 جولائی 2017 اگر دونوں اسلامی تاریخ کو ملایا جائیں تو حضرت کی کل عمر تقریباً کم و بیش 83 ایئر ہو جاتی ہیں 33 سال کی عمر ہو جاتی ہیں 33 سال کی عمر میں حضرت نے انتقال فرمایا حضرت اپنی سوانح کے اندر میں خود تحریر فرماتے ہیں کہ 1377 1377 میں حضرت نے مظاہر العلوم کے اندر میں داخلہ لیا اور 1381 1381 میں حضرت مولانا اسعد اللہ صاحب جو اس زمانے میں ناظم تعلیم تھے ان کے ایما ان کے اشارہ اور ان کے حکم سے حضرت وہاں عارضی طور پر اور ٹیمپرری مدرس مقرر کیے گئے حضرت خود فرماتے ہیں کہ جس زمانے میں 1381 میں جب ان کا وہاں تقرر ہوا عارضی مدرس کے طور پر تو تنخواہ کے طور پر 7 روپیے مقرر کیے گئے تھے اور 7 روپیے کا معنی یہ ہوتا ہے ہمارے ذہن کے اعتبار سے اگر شمار کریں گے تو اس کا معنی یہ نکلتا ہے کہ مہینے کی تنخواہ ان کے لیے 1 رین مقرر کی گئی یہ 1381 کا زمانہ ہے 1381 میں 7 روپیے ماہانہ تنخواہ کے اوپر میں عارضی طور پر ان کا تقرر واقع ہوا اس کے بعد حضرت فرماتے ہیں کہ 3 سال تک یہ سلسلہ چلتا رہا اور 1384 میں وہاں کے ایک استاذ کے انتقال کر جانے کی وجہ سے پھر حضرت کو باقاعدہ مستقل طور پر وہاں مدرس مقرر کیا گیا اور فرماتے ہیں کہ 1384 میں اس وقت جو ان کی تنخواہ تھی وہ تقریباً 60 روپیے تھی اس کا معنی یہ نکل آیا کہ ہمارے رین کے اعتبار سے اس زمانے میں حضرت کی جو تنخواہ ہے وہ تقریباً 14 رین بنتی ہیں 15 رین بنتی ہیں 60 روپیے تنخواہ میں وہ 1384 کے اندر میں مستقل طور پر مدرس مقرر کیے گئے 1384 سے لے کر کے 1388 تک 1388 تک حضرت جو ہیں وہاں استاد حدیث رہے اس کے بعد 1388 سے لے کر کے 1388 سے لے کر کے اسلامی تاریخ کے اعتبار سے 1438 تک یعنی انتقال کر جانے والے دین تک اگر حساب لگایا جائیں تو 38 سال یہ 12 سال وہ یہ تقریباً 50 سال کا زمانہ ہے 50 سال کا زمانہ حضرت کا جو گزرا مظاہر العلوم کی در و دیوار کے درمیان میں وہ دنیا کے ایک محدث اعظم کی حیثیت سے گزرا تقریباً کم و بیش 50 سال تک انہوں نے بخاری شریف کا درس دیا بڑی آن کے ساتھ شان کے ساتھ بان کے ساتھ اور 50 سالہ طویل مدت میں لا تعد ولا تحصى جن کا شمار نہیں کیا جا سکتا ہے اتنے طلباء نے علم حدیث کے سلسلے میں اپنی پیاس کو حضرت کے سامنے بیٹھ کر کے بجھائی 50 سال کے درمیان میں پڑھنے والے طلباء کی تعداد جو ہیں یقیناً ہزاروں سے متجاوز ہوگی اور ہزاروں سے بھی وہ زیادہ ہوگی اتنے زیادہ طلباء نے 50 سال کے درمیان میں حضرت کی ذات سے استفادہ کیا فائدہ اٹھایا اور اس میں کوئی شک کی بات نہیں ہے کہ بر صغیر کے اس وقت جو مدارس ہیں اور اس میں خاص طور کے ہندوستان کے جتنے بھی دارالعلوم ہیں ان دارالعلوم میں اکثر جگہ کے اوپر میں اس وقت بخاری شریف کی خدمت انجام دینے والے جو حضرات ہیں وہ ان میں سے اکثر وہ ہوں گے جو حضرت ہی کے تلامذہ ہیں اور حضرت ہی کے شاگردوں میں, اور ہندوستان کے علاوہ دنیا کے دوسرے ملکوں کے جو دارالعلوم ہے اس میں بھی اگر تلاش کریں گے تو بخاری شریف کے پڑھانے والے وہ حضرت ہی کے ساتھ تعلق رکھنے والے حضرت ہی کے تلامذہ میں سے ہوں گے. ظاہری بات ہے کہ ان کی ان خدمات کو دیکھ کر کے کہا جا سکتا ہے یہ سعادت بزور بازو نیس تان بخشد خدا بخشندہ ذالک فضل اللہ یوتی ہے میں یشا ہذا من فضل ربی لیبلونی اشکر ام اکفر. حضرت جو ہیں یقینی طور پر اس کے مصداق ہیں. ظاہری بات ہے کہ 50 سالہ جو دور ہیں وہ تو صرف اور صرف بخاری شریف کے پڑھانے کا ہے, اور اس کے علاوہ جو ہیں 8 سال اور ہیں. اس کا معنی یہ نکل آیا کہ 58 سال تو ان کی تدریس کے بن جاتے ہیں. 58 years جو ہیں وہ ان کی.
You're listening to Ulama Profiles on Radio Islam International.
So respected listeners, it was my Ustad, Mawlana Abbas Saab, and to understand what he was saying would require at least another hour. But I would like to take you to some of the points that Mawlana was saying. And thereafter he said that Mawlana Sheikh Yunus Rahimahullah was born on the 25th of Rajab, 1355, the Gregorian calendar, 1937. That makes Mawlana approximately 83 years old. Mawlana in his life spent 58 years teaching. I want to repeat that. Mawlana in his life spent 58 years only in teaching. And out of that, approximately 50 years, Mawlana spent teaching Bukhari Sharif. Obviously, his sacrifices in this line was truly amazing. And in the very initial stages, Mawlana was employed to start teaching, and he was given 7 rupees. The equivalent of that would be perhaps 1 rand. And as he taught, and thereafter there was one of the teachers at Mazahirul Ulum that passed on, and then from a temporary employment he was put into permanent, and then he was given what would have been thereafter 60 rupees. 60 rupees would equate to approximately 14 rands. And on that qana'at, Mawlana would be so happy with that he would never complain or budge or even want or desire anything more. Mawlana Ayub Surti Rahmatullah Barakatuhum was saying that Mawlana's habit was such that whenever he would receive any gift of any money, the first thing that he would do is he would buy kitabs. To the extent that when you had to look at the Mawlana's own personal library, perhaps you would find somebody that had more kitabs like Mawlana. And the amount of kitabs and the amount of books that he had, which he would then read himself, was truly amazing. Mawlana in his life was an avid reader. He would spend much time of his only in making mutala'a, only in doing research to make sure that whatever he has, whatever kitab was available when he would go to the Haramain Sharifain, then the one thing that he would do whenever he would go, he would see what new kitabs were printed, and according to that he would go and he would purchase those kitabs and make a habit of reading. For us, our children, our families, we have to bring and inculcate the habit of reading within ourselves. This is by far a very important aspect in the life, not only of students, but a Muslim in particular. Hazrat Mawlana, let alone the field of hadith, but in many other fields as well, was a person who was par excellence. He taught in the initial years many of the other kitabs. Then when Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria rahimahullah was ill at the latter part of his life and excused himself from teaching Bukhari Sharif, then the great scholar Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria rahimahullah then put Hazrat Sheikh Yunus rahmatullahi alayh in his seat, and thereafter for 50 years continuously Hazrat Sheikh Yunus rahmatullahi alayh would carry on teaching the dars of Bukhari Sharif in Mazahirul Ulum Saharanpur. I want to take you through some of the points that Hazrat had written himself about his life, And he would say that when I was very, very small, I had a fantastic memory. So at the age of probably 9 years or so, I would buy half the khutbah that would be given on the Friday Jumu'ah. And at that time, it wasn't so much of knowledge. It was a village that was far away. And we went for Jumu'ah, and the imam and the Mawlana that was there, he didn't come for Jumu'ah on that day. So obviously, naturally, there was a concern who was going to read the salah, who was going to do the khutbah. And because I was an imitator as well, I could imitate people and I had a good memory. One of my uncles came, he picked me up and he put me there and he said, you know, come read the khutbah. So I came and I read the khutbah with total ease, total confidence. I never got stuck anywhere. Probably one place I was a little confused, but alhamdulillah I read the khutbah. He says, now when I think back of it and at that age of being so young, reading it, I think I only read one khutbah. As Ruth Sheikh says, I was probably 9, perhaps 10 years old. I only read one of the two khutbahs and I sat down. When I finished and I came down, thereafter there was another person that came and he came and he read the Jumu'ah Salah at this village. Mawlana at the age of 13 years went to Madrasa Ziyaul Quran and then he done some of the elementary books that was there. Mukhtasar al-Ma'ani, Maqama, Sharah Wiqaya, etc. And after that, he came and he started taking his, he started learning and he enrolled himself in Mazahir al-Ulum in Saharanpur. When Mawlana came in the very beginning stages, he was one of the students of Mawlana Asadullah and he was at the Mazahir al-Ulum. From the time that he had taken wanting to study right till his passing away, that Mawlana was in the area and in the place of Mazahir al-Ulum, Saharanpur. This here is in the village of Uttar Pradesh in India, UP in India, and Mawlana then studied there. In his own words, he says, "Main musalsal bimar raha." I was always ill. And when I came after a short while, I started getting ill, I started getting a queasy chest, I started getting fever, and blood was then coming from my mouth. My ustad, the Nazim at that time, Mawlana Asadullah told me, why don't you go home and you do some treatment, and when you return, inshallah, then you can carry on teaching. Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali also told him, jab tum bimar hai aur logo ka mashwara bhi hai, to makan chala ja. That while you are ill, your ustads are giving you advice, and why is it that you don't want to go to home and do it? Hazrat and Mawlana Yunus Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, agar marna hai to yahi mar jaunga. That if it means I have to leave this world, then I'll pass away here if I'm that ill. So then Hazrat said, then Hazrat jo kaan mein pad gaya hai, wo dimag mein utar jayega. He said that Hazrat told him one thing and it stayed in him forever. Ke phir pada rahe, then stay here. And that definitely was one of Hazrat Mawlana's salient features in his life, to stay in the area of Saharanpur for approximately 58 years of his life and carry on living in that area, teaching and spreading the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat says that in my life, the first time I met Hazrat Sheikh rahmatullahi alayhi was just in passing, whereby I went to the office and I had some work that needed to be done. And while I was at the office, Hazrat was there, in his simple kurta that was there, he came, he asked me something and we carried on. And there was nothing much that transpired after that. But then came a time in the month of Ramadan when I used to eat sahri alone. So when Hazrat found out about this, then he would call me and he would call me and I would have sahri with him in the morning. And during that time of having sahri, he would give me a roti and thereafter it was increased to 2 rotis and then the communication and the relationship between the two carried on and it increased tremendously. Mawlana Yunus Jaunpuri rahimahullah was a khalifa of Mawlana Asadullah. He was there to him, but he did not take that to Hazrat Sheikh rahmatullah only after some time. And after that, in Ramadan of the year 1382, in the last 10 days, he went and he took bath. He told Hazrat Sheikh rahimahullah that I want to take bayat to you. So the Sheikh told him, just think about it, make istikhara, and at the latest time, then you come. He said, no, I have thought about it, I would like to. He said, no, think about it, and thereafter, once you've thought about it, you've made istikhara, and thereafter you can come and you can take bayat to me. And after 3 days after making istikhara, then Hazrat came and he made dua to Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi. In the life of Hazrat Marana Yunus Jaunpuri rahmatullah, in the program that was held yesterday at Madahirul Ulum, many things were made mention with regard to his life. And one was that his disinclination to this world. Mawlana Shabir Sahib, Damat Barakatum, that was there, said that one day I came with some gifts that people sent me to Hazrat Shaykh Yunus Rahimahullah. And thereafter, it was 3,500 pounds that I had taken. And if you look at it, and this was at the time whereby the pound was at 23 rand to the rand, so you can imagine times it by 3,500, how much it must have been. So since I came with it and I said, Hazrat, people have given you this hadiah and this gift of 3,500 pounds. So he said, you know what, I don't want it. What must I do with it? He said, okay, Hazrat, I can understand you don't want it, but people have given it to me. I need to give it to you. This is an amanat. So Hazrat told him, no, you take it. He said, Mawlana, I brought the hadiah. I mean, I can't take this hadiah back and this gift back. So he said that then Mawlana Shabir Sahib, Damat Barakatuh, whose family was worth, he said, you know what, give this to your family. You have a daughter that's a marriageable age. When she gets married, spend it on her. So that entire amount of 3,500 pounds within that gathering, Mawlana would then give it away in sadqa, in charity. There was a time whereby Mawlana, whatever monies he would get, when he would go to the Haramain Sharifain, then Mawlana would go and Mawlana would give that thing out to the people when he would go to the Haramain Sharifain. One day Mawlana said that he was explaining the advices of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi Alayh. So one of the salient advices that Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayh had given Shaykh Yunus Rahmatullahi Alayh, he said, Shaykh Yunus Rahmatullahi Alayh told him that Hazrat Durood Bakasra Sepuro, that try and read abundance of Durood. Maine iska bahut fayda dekha hai. I've seen a lot of benefit in this year. So us listeners, we should also try and make a habit that we must try and read as much durood as we possibly can. Because in this durood that we will read, wallah, the benefit that is there is amazing and we cannot even begin to understand it. Let's carry on with our next guest. Listeners, you are listening to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Bhoja. And you with me, inshallah, from now for just under another hour with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we would like to welcome the listeners of the UK that are listening over the audio streaming. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. We have on air with us now Mawlana Yusuf from the UK, who is the son of Mawlana Shabir Damat Barakatuhum, one of the ulama and the scholars of the UK. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, what a great loss that the Ummah is suffering only in this week alone, Mawlana.
Yes, absolutely. We have had the demise of Hazrat Mawlana Ismail Badat Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, and a few hours thereafter, the demise of our beloved Sheikh Muhaddith al-Asr, the Muhaddith of this era, Hazrat Sheikh Mawlana Muhammad Yunus Sahib Jaunpuri, rahmatullahi alayhi, rahmatan wasi'atan. And today we have sadly received the news of the demise of Hakim Ilyas, rahmatullahi alayhi, who is the father of Hazrat Mawlana Shahid Sahib, maddadillahu, and the son-in-law of the Sheikh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, nawarallahu marqadahu. And of course this year we have witnessed the demise and the death of many mashayikh, many elders, many scholars, Hazrat Mawlana Salimullah Khan Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, and many, many other mashayikh who have passed away. So indeed it is a very, very sad week and a very, very sad year.
Definitely so, Mawlana. Mawlana, let's just begin. You made mention that Muhaddithul Asr and a great scholar of Hadith. Let us, the listeners, for them to understand, what was Hazrat Shaykh Yunus Rahimahullah's devotion to Bukhari in particular and the Hadith as a subject in general? How was his devotion to these two?
It is beyond description, the devotion of Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi to Hadith, and in particular to Sahih al-Bukhari, the most authentic book after the Quran, and to the author of the Sahih, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, is beyond comprehension. If we take a look back 50 years ago, Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Nawarallahu Marqadahu, who most of our listeners have heard of his name, the author of Fadailul A'mal, the author of Awjazul Masalik, the author of Lami'ud Dirari, and many, many other books in Arabic and in Urdu, there is no need to introduce him. Hazrat Sheikh Mawlana Zakariya Sahib, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, was the Sheikh al-Hadith in the famous seminary, the famous Madrasa Madahirul Uloom in Saharanpur, India, which is the second largest and the second most prominent seminary after Darul Uloom Deoband in the subcontinent. Hazrat Sheikh Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi taught Sahih al-Bukhari and was honored with the title of Sheikh al-Hadith for many years. And when he decided that he would no longer teach Sahih al-Bukhari, he decided to appoint Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Yunus Sahib, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, one of his students. And at the time, Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was of a relative young age. Many of his teachers were also alive at the time, like Hazrat Mufti Muzaffar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi and several others. But Hazrat Sheikh Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Nawarallahu Marqadahu saw in Sheikh Yunus Sahib a special devotion and attachment to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the science of hadith. And despite his young age, and despite the fact that he had only taught at Madahir Ulum Saharanpur for 6 or 7 or 8 years, and Hazrat Sheikh Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi appointed him as Sheikh al-Hadith, and at the time there were some people who were not totally comfortable with this because of the young age of Hazrat Sheikh Mawlana Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, but nevertheless he was appointed. And alhamdulillah, from that day onwards, in Shawwal 1388 Hijri to date, in 1438 Hijri, Hazrat Sheikh Mawlana Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi taught the Sahih al-Bukhari from beginning to end 50 times. And apart from this, many, many ulama, in particular many, many Arab ulama, apart from this, separate to this, in Hijaz, in Makkah, Medina and other places, read Sahih al-Bukhari in the presence of Sheikh on a number of occasions. So, without a shadow of doubt, Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was very, very attached to Sahih al-Bukhari. He would describe the Sahih as the encyclopedia of Islam. Every facet, every aspect of Islam has been covered explicitly or implicitly by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. And Hazrat Sheikh spent his entire life focusing on the abwab and the tarahim and the chapters of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. Many of our listeners will be aware, fiqh al-Bukhari fi tarajimihi, that the jurisprudence of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah are very subtly outlined through his abwab and through his tarajim and through his chapters that he brings before he transmits the hadith. And the commentators of Sahih al-Bukhari for the past many hundreds of years have tried to outline what is Imam Bukhari rahimahullah trying to convey, what is his jurisprudential position, what and how is he trying to deduce from a particular hadith. And as the Shaykh Mawlana Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, without shadow of doubt, his insight into Sahih al-Bukhari, into the chapters of Sahih al-Bukhari, into the personality of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, I would not be wrong in saying that in the contemporary era there is no example like Hazrat Sheikh Mawlana Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, who had so much understanding, so much insight, and developed an unparalleled level of expertise in Sahih al-Bukhari. And Hazrat Sheikh Mawlana Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was very, very attached to Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. He would regularly say to students that give charity on behalf of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. My respected father Mufti Shabir Sahib narrates that when Birrul Walidain is a small book of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, a small juz, which has approximately 80 to 85 hadiths on the topic of obedience and being dutiful to parents. This book was only published for the first time 2 to 3 years ago, and when Hazrat Sheikh Mawlana Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi received this book that has been authored by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, out of happiness and joy, he kissed the book. And I have heard Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi say on many occasions that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is in fact a miracle and a mu'jiza of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam manifested 250 years after the demise of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Sheikh had a lot of love and a connection to Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi.
This
respected listeners, we are speaking to Maulana Yusuf Saab, Tamil Barakatuhum, from the UK, and he is explaining to us, and we are discussing and profiling the life of Hazrat Sheikh Yunus Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And we are doing this, Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullahi Alayhi, for the listeners that are not aware, had passed on and was buried yesterday, day before yesterday, and yesterday was the Jalsa, the Tazkiyati Jalsa in Mazahirul Ulum. Maulana, you made mention with regards to the teaching, and you made mention with regards to his relationship to Hadith. But who were some of the teachers by which he gained this knowledge of Hadith from, Maulana?
Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Yunus Saab, rahmatullahi alayhi, some of his main teachers, the first and the most prominent is Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Saab, nawarallahu marqadahu, who was also a master of Hadith, a master of Tasawwuf, and who has authored many, many books. Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Yunus Saab, rahmatullahi alayhi, he studied Sahih al-Bukhari, and Hazrat Sheikh, rahmatullahi alayhi, he assisted him with some of his publications. And he had a very, very close connection to him and to his family, and especially over the past years after the demise of Hazrat Sheikh rahmatullahi alayhi, with his son Hazrat Maulana Talha Saab Muddadilhu Al-Ali, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a long life, a very, very close connection to the family. Apart from this, a very prominent scholar who Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayhi was very close to is Hazrat Maulana Asadullah Saab, who is also known as Nazim Saab. Hazrat Maulana Asadullah Saab is the Khalifa and the disciple of Hazrat Maulana Hakim al-Ummah, Hazrat Maulana Sheikh Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi. He was also very, very close to Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Yunus Saab and played a pivotal role in his tarbiyah, in his upbringing. And the amazing thing is, Sheikh would recollect this, that Nazim Saab Maulana Asadullah Saab would say in those days, in the 70s or in the 60s, that Mauli Yunus, ek waqt aayega, that a time will come jab teri baat hujjat hogi, when what you say or your opinion will be evidence. In other words, ulama and scholars and students from across the world will rely on your tahqiq and your research, and that will be used as evidence. This is true, alhamdulillah, over the many years, Sheikh's works and publications have come out, and many people do istifada from it, many people benefit from it. We must also remember that Sheikh's devotion to Hadith was such that especially in his early days when he started to teach the books of Hadith and Sahih al-Bukhari, he would spend 15-20 hours every day just doing mutala of Hadith. I recall him once suggesting that in search of one Hadith, he read Musnad al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, completely 4 times. And the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, for those listeners who may not be aware, has approximately 30,000 hadiths. So Sheikh read the Musnad, which has 30,000 hadiths, 4 times, entirely just in search of one hadith. This just demonstrates the devotion and the attachment to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Subhanallah. Maulana, you made mention and you spoke to us regarding some of the books that he had authored. Perhaps you want to take us through some of the publications of Hazrat Sheikh Yunus rahimahullah.
Yes, Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayhi spent all his entire life in the service of hadith, and he would say that I never, out of humility, his tawabu was such, his humility was such that he would regularly say that I never thought of publishing any books or publishing any works, and therefore I did not undertake any writings with the intention of publication. But alhamdulillah, since the year 2005-2006, Hazrat Ayub Saab, who is a Sheikh al-Hadith based in Leicester, alhamdulillah, one of the senior students and khulafa and disciples of Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayhi, he started to collate some of Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayhi's Arabic and Urdu articles pertaining to hadith, pertaining to fiqh and other issues. And alhamdulillah, over a period of 7 to 8 years, after lots of hard work from Hazrat Maulana Ayub Saab rahmatullahi alayhi, the 4-volume publication by the name of Al-Yawaqit Al-Ghaliyah. This is a 4-volume publication which comprises of many, many short and detailed writings of Sheikh Ibn Saab rahmatullahi alayh. The first two volumes is in Urdu and Arabic and comprises of short questions and answers pertaining to hadith and other topics. And what is very, very interesting is that many of these questions were answered by Sheikh Ibn Saab rahmatullahi alayh in the 70s, in the 80s. And when one looks at the caliber of the people asking the questions to Sheikh Ibn Saab rahmatullahi alayh, one is amazed. The likes of Mufti Mahmud Hassan Gangohi rahmatullahi alayh, the Grand Mufti of Darul Deoband and the Grand Mufti of India, the likes of Sayyid Hazrat Maulana Nadwi, Sayyid Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi rahmatullahi alayh, asking Sheikh questions pertaining to hadith, the likes of Hazrat Maulana Imamul Hassan Saab rahmatullahi alayh, the likes of Maulana Abdul Jabbar Saab rahmatullahi alayh, and in fact Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya Saab rahmatullahi alayh himself would refer people to Hazrat Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayh. And there are many, many examples in these first two volumes where ulama and senior mashaykh ask questions to Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya Saab rahmatullahi alayh. And the Sheikh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya Saab rahmatullahi alayh would not only refer the question to Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayh, but advise the questioner, the scholar, the Sheikh, asking the question that in future, if you have any questions pertaining to hadith, then please contact Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayh directly. This just shows the level of confidence that Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayh's teachers and his contemporaries had in him from a very early moment in his life. So these are the first two volumes of Al-Yawaqit Al-Ghaliyah, which comprises of various questions predominantly pertaining to hadith, but also other questions in relation to fiqh, tasawwuf, akhlaq, seerah, and so on. And the final two volumes, volume 3 and volume 4 of Al-Yawaqit Al-Ghaliyah, are 100% in Arabic, and there are many, many rasail, many, many ajza, many useful ajza, particularly for students and for ulama. In the third volume, for example, there is a commentary and very useful notes on the Muqaddama, the preface to Sahih Muslim, which is very, very useful. In the final volume, is dedicated to the four Sunan, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Sunan al-Nasa'i, Sunan Abi Dawud, Sunan ibn Majah, all those hadiths that have come under criticism, under naqd, and one or more scholar has deemed those hadiths as mawdu, as fabricated. Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayh has collated all those hadiths and critically reviewed them, and where relevant, defended them and affirmed that they are established or they have some source, and where not, made that very clear. That volume is invaluable because many of our listeners will be aware that the Sahihain, Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim is all authentic, but the four Sunan does have some weak narrations. Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayh has tried to address those narrations and critically review them. So this publication, Al-Yawaqit Al-Ghaliyah, in four volumes, this is the first major publication of Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayh that was published. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Hazrat Maulana Ayyub Saab and all those who participated in that publication. The second notable work is the commentary of Sahih Al-Bukhari. As I mentioned earlier, Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayh never intended to publish a commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari, but a few years ago he decided to collate his notes, and he would regularly say that I am only doing this so that it may benefit the students. And the reality of the matter is that alhamdulillah I have seen Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayh's Arabic notes on the Sahih in many, many different parts. They are not only notes, they are, as a matter of fact, invaluable gems. And alhamdulillah, the first volume, Nidrasu Sari ila Riyadh al-Bukhari, in Arabic, alhamdulillah, was published a few months ago. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Madadullahu worked very hard. And alhamdulillah, I reviewed this book. A review of this book is also available online. And this book, this first volume, is invaluable, especially for the ulama who teach Sahih al-Bukhari, who study Sahih al-Bukhari, for students. Sheikh has really unpicked many, many aspects that we do not find in the other commentaries of the Sahih. So it adds real value, and it is, inshallah, sadaqah jariyah for Hadhrat Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayhi. And efforts are also underway to continue the publication of the second and third volumes. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this process is made easy, and we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Sheikh's other works, alhamdulillah, Sheikh also has footnotes, very, very useful footnotes on many, many other books, including Fathul Bari, Mishkatul Masabih. Sheikh has comprehensive notes in Arabic on the entire Sahih of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, and many, many other books Sheikh has done ta'liqat on. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that that ulama are given the tawfiq, and the students of Sheikh rahmatullah are given the tawfiq to work on these so that they see the light of the day and that the ummah can benefit at large, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah. Jazakallahu khairah for that information. Respected listeners, we are speaking to Maulana Yusuf from the UK, and we are profiling and we are speaking about one of the gems of our time that has passed away, Hazrat Sheikh Yunus rahimahullahu ta'ala. And naturally, there's so much to touch upon and there's so much to speak about. We've touched on Maulana's love and attachment to Ahadith, as well as Maulana's attachment to the Sahih al-Bukhari. We spoke about Maulana's teachers and Ustad. We spoke about the publications of Maulana. Let's just get to Maulana's personal life a little bit, and probably something that Maulana had done for the sacrifice of the greater good of knowledge of the Hadith, and that is Maulana's family life. And the fact that Maulana never wedded and Maulana never got married. Maulana, perhaps you want to expound for the listeners a bit on this issue of why Maulana opted not to make nikah?
Yes, Hazrat Sheikh Yunus rahmatullahi alayhi, he did not get married. He is from amongst the group of ulama who sacrificed their entire life and time for the service of deen. Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahmatullahi alayhi has a very beneficial book in this regard, Al-Ulama Al-Uzzab Al-Ladina Atharul Ilma Al-Zawaj. Those ulama who gave preference and who sacrificed their life for deen, for knowledge, for ilm, and did not get married. From amongst those ulama are the likes of Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, the great Shafi'i scholar, the likes of Sheikh al-Islam Allama ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and many other ulama who decided not to get married. Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayhi, I've heard him say on numerous occasions that I did not get married, and I was extremely busy in my pursuit of ilm and knowledge and mutala'ah. And as I explained earlier, that Sheikh would do mutala'ah 15-20 hours a day. He had dedicated himself to the service of deen. Later in his life, he would say that now I have become very old, and even if I want to marry, my age does not permit me at the moment. But it wasn't the case, as some people sometimes misunderstand or misnarrate, that in his youth or teens, Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayhi had some physical illness that prevented him from getting married. That is not the case. My respected father, the Mufti Shabbir Saab, mentioned yesterday in the Ta'ziyati Jalsa as well, that this was not the case. Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayhi was physically healthy, but it was just the devotion to deen and to mutala'ah and to knowledge and to hadith and the science of hadith. He was so engrossed in it that he decided not to get married, and he spent his entire life in Madahir Ulum, Saharanpur, apart from his early years, which was spent in and around Jaunpur. And Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayhi was a very selfless person. Most of his life he stayed in Madahir Ulum, Saharanpur. At the age of 5, his mother had passed away, and later on in life, his father passed away, his brother passed away. He never really had much family relations. His relationship was with the books. His relationship was with the Sunnah. His relationship was with the books of Ahadith. His relationship was with his students, and with the ilm and with knowledge. That's how he spent his entire life. He lived a life of poverty, of zuhud, and that's how he spent his entire life. So Sheikh Yunus Saab rahmatullahi alayhi did not marry for this reason. And although this does not suggest that Sheikh had any principal objections to marriage, in fact he would recommend marriage himself, and he would recommend his students to get married as well. But ulama have mentioned that there are some scenarios where out of the passion of deen and sacrifice, some ulama, like Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, did not marry. That does not mean that marriage is not sunnah. that does not mean that these ulama and these mashayikh were against marriage, but sometimes there are circumstances in which particular decisions are made.
Maulana, we've touched on quite a few aspects with regards to Maulana's life. Coming down and rounding it off as we speak, Maulana generally would have, and when we hear, and I was reading some of the books and I was listening to yesterday's program as well, I was streaming it live, and Maulana's amazing zuhud and his abstaining from the luxuries of this world, yet at times Maulana would have it at his feet. You know, there would be times whereby, if I recall correctly, perhaps it was your father or one of the other guests making mention, that probably his entire life he only slept on the floor, even when he would visit you all at your own home. You want to expound for the listeners about the zuhud of Sheikh Yunus rahimahullah?
Yes, absolutely. To find an example of Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi when it comes to zuhud and selflessness is probably very, very difficult in this era. And Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi's contribution to knowledge, ilm and hadith is well known. But this aspect of Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi's life is perhaps less well known. Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was totally detached from the world. The level of istighna and selflessness that Sheikh had is just beyond belief. And I will give you one or two examples. You mentioned that about not sleeping on the bed. In his early years, Sheikh would sleep on the bed, but for many years, over the past decade, we saw that Sheikh Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi would not sleep on the bed. He would sleep on the floor. Alhamdulillah, he visited us in the UK on numerous occasions. For the past 10, 15 years, he would come more or less every year. Thereafter, he would travel to Haramain. And even in Haramain, for the past few years, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would reside in Kaaba View apartments, right in front of Bab Abdul Aziz, which is owned by Sheikh Bakr bin Laden. The apartments right at the front of the Zamzam Towers, Sheikh would reside there, and the Kaaba would be at his view. But even over there, he would sleep on the floor. Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi's zuhud and his detachment from the world was such that he lived a life of poverty, as my father mentioned yesterday in the Ta'ziyati Jalsa, that in his early years, his faqr was such that sometimes he could not afford paper to write on. And I have personally seen some of Sheikh's notes in Arabic, handwritten notes on the back of postcards or on the back of envelopes, because he could not afford paper to write on. This was the level of poverty. One of my colleagues, a student of Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi from Leicester, mentioned to me yesterday or the day before that when he was studying in the 90s, Sheikh would tell them that there was a time when I only had one bowl. I only possessed one bowl, and I would use that bowl for cooking, I would use that bowl for washing, I would use that bowl for drinking, and I would use that bowl for all my needs. I never had any other utensil which I could use for my washing, cooking, clothing, drinking, eating, and so forth. It was only one bowl. This is the level of poverty that Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi endured in his early years. But subhanAllah, the amazing thing is that in the latter parts of his life, over the past 10-15 years, there were futuhat. There were many, many people who were ready to give Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi money, wealth, and so forth. But Sheikh was so detached from the world. Over the past 10 years, Sheikh would receive many, many gifts. On his most recent visit to Reunion, UK and Saudi Arabia, Sheikh Khadim, Sheikh's student, Maulana Yunus Sahib, mentioned to me that Sheikh received £70,000 hadiah. And when he visited Haramain, Hijaz, every single penny was given in charity for the tahfiz program, for the memorization of the Quran, and not a single rupee or rial or penny was taken back to India. And this was Sheikh Rahmatullahi Alayhi's habit, not just for this year, but throughout the years. Whatever hadiah, whatever foreign hadiah he would receive, not a penny of it would return with him to India. and the amount of charitable donations that he would give in India itself to Mazahir Ulum Jadid, to Mazahir Ulum Qadim, and other institutes that is separate to this. So Sheikh's detachment from the world, Sheikh never left anything behind. Whatever he would get, he would donate it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how Sheikh lived his life. And Sheikh would mention regularly that when I started teaching, I would be on a salary. And then after a few years, I decided, I made mashura with my teachers and elders to adopt the path of tawakkul. And I decided not to take a salary. And initially it was very, very hard. They were very, very hard days. But I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the door. So the Sheikh Maulana Yunus Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, his piety, his selflessness, his istighna, his detachment from the world, are aspects that are truly enviable, are aspects that we should ponder upon and reflect upon and try and emulate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq.
Ameen, inshaAllah. Respected listeners, we are on Radio Islam International. We are also streaming via the audio streaming in the UK as well. And we are speaking about the life of Hazrat Sheikh Yunus Rahimahullah. Briefly, I want to take you to some of the points Maulana Yusuf Daman Barakatuh has made mention. We spoke about Hazrat Sheikh's attachment to the Sahih al-Bukhari, mentioning that in over 50 years, he had taught the Sahih al-Bukhari, meaning that he taught the Kitab 50 times, and at times, he would not have sufficient paper making notes at behind postcards, etc. We spoke about the teachers of Hazrat Sheikh Rahimahullah. We spoke about some of the publications, one of them being Al-Yawaqitul Ghaliya, some of the answers that Hazrat gave to the ulama and the scholars that had posed questions regarding the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also spoke about the life of any sacrifice of not getting married because of the amount of time that he would spend in research, and obviously encouraging others, but understanding that the demand of education, of knowledge, was such that it had overpowered so many of the other basic necessities of life. We attached the aspect of abstinence in the life of Hazrat Sheikh Yunus Rahimahullah Ta'ala. Obviously, if a person by nature is teaching the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for a period of 50 years and more, and involve himself and immersing himself in reading the ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a natural inclination is going to be to follow the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And through that, we're going to ask our guest, Maulana Yusuf Rahmat Jamal Barakatuhum, to give us some insight into the aspect of the sunnah that Hazrat Sheikh Yunus Rahimahullah would practice in his day-to-day life, Maulana.
Yes, absolutely, Maulana. Sheikh Yunus Sahab Rahmatullahi Alayhi, when it came to sunnah, when it came to the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was absolutely no compromise whatsoever. For Sheikh Rahmatullahi Alayhi, so many times we would observe him rebuking those who do not adopt the sunnah of the beard. And for Sheikh Yunus Sahab Rahmatullahi Alayhi, the question of whether the beard is wajib or the beard is sunnah, that would not be entertained. The mere fact that it is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted. Sheikh Yunus Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi would be very, very angry when he would see that someone has not adopted this very, very important sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Notwithstanding the fact that in publications Al-Yawaqitul Ghaliya, he has also mentioned that the beard is from the Sha'air of Deen. But I also want to give you one or two other examples that show and demonstrate the love of the sunnah. When Sheikh Yunus Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi performed many, many a hajj. And I recall, alhamdulillah, I was also honored and fortunate with our family to participate in hajj. And Sheikh Yunus Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, we were with Sheikh Yunus Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi in that hajj as well. And every year, as Sheikh Khadim Maulana Yunus Sahab confirmed to me, Sheikh's devotion and attachment with the sunnah was such that every year he would reside in Mina on the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah. To reside in Mina on 13th of Dhul-Hijjah is also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but most people, they leave Mina on the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah. But every year, including when Sheikh was extremely ill, he would stay in Mina on the 13th as well, and he would say that my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed in Mina on the 13th, including on one occasion, Maulana Yunus Sahab was mentioning that 13th happened to be on a Friday. And Sheikh said that I am going to give preference to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and stay in Mina on the 13th, even if that means that I cannot participate in the Jumu'ah Salah in Al-Masjid Al-Haram. So in Hajj, Sheikh would strive to follow every minute Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much so all our listeners are aware of the sheer volume of people that participate in the Hajj, and the number of people who try to do Rami, particularly on the 10th, on Yawm al-Nahr, on Eid Day, and how busy it is. And Shaykh Rahmatullahi Ali would ensure that he performs the Rami, the stoning of the devil, at the Masnoon time, at the Mustahab time. And that is not always possible, but Shaykh would always ensure that the Rami and the stoning is done at the Masnoon time, and not only at the Masnoon time, but also in the Masnoon Hay'ah, in the Masnoon position, in terms of where a person should face, or where it is preferable, it is Sunnah for a person to do Rami from. So Shaykh would ensure that the Rami is done in the Masnoon time. And on one occasion, a couple of years ago, Shaykh fell extremely ill. And people said to him that it will be very, very difficult to perform Rami at the Masnoon time, not least because you are extremely weak. And Shaykh Yunus Abu Rahmatullahi alayhi said, but so, that look, children, take me, and if it means that I have to die, I will die. But I want to fulfill the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in that process, if I have to die, I will die. I rather die in following the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst following the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather than abandoning or forsaking the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are just some examples of Shaykh's connection to the Sunnah. Shaykh and Sunnah and Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always at the forefront of Shaykh's mind. Whenever Shaykh would visit us in the UK, whenever we would have a da'wah at Darul Uloom or at anyone's house, he would always remind us that, look, you are doing ziyafah, this hospitality that you are doing, do not do this to show off. Do this with the intention of following the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of following the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One interesting point which my respected father, Hazrat Mufti Shabbir Sahib, pointed out to me on this recent trip, that I observed Shaykh with his spectacles, that when he folds his spectacles, he folds the left side, the left spindle first, and then the right, so that when he unfolds his spectacles, he can start with the right, similar to how we wear the shoes. So an amazing point, which I have not heard Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi say anything himself directly regarding this, but this was an observation that was made by my respected father, Hazrat Mufti Shabbir Sahib. And there are many, many examples of Sheikh's connection to the Sunnah. Sheikh had so much love for the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara that he would prefer not to use the air condition, the AC, and he would say that I rather take in the blessed hawa and the air of Madinatul Munawwara. So much was his connection to the Sunnah that he would, despite his elderly age and weakness, visit the orchards, the date orchards, eat the dates, and he would instruct his students not to throw the seeds of the dates of Medina Munawwara away in dustbin, but rather bury them out of respect. And this is one thing that we saw in Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. It wasn't just about ilm, it was ilm and adab combined, etiquette, following the Sunnah, love of the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these features that really stood out.
Wow, you want to come and we want to bring it a bit home for us. Perhaps you could tell us with regards to some of your personal experiences that you had while interacting with Hazrat Sheikh Yunus rahimahullah, probably when you were traveling to India, or when Hazrat would come to the UK and you would be accompanying him on his travels.
Alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the blessing of our parents and our teachers, alhamdulillah, I personally had many, many opportunities in the UK, in Saudi Arabia, in India, to accompany on some occasions to drive Hazrat Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi in the car, where I was able to benefit from him on a one-to-one basis, but also on a collective basis as well, alhamdulillah. And there are many, many examples. Our family as a whole, alhamdulillah, we are very, very close to Sheikh Yunus Sahib, because my respected father, Hazrat Mufti Shabbir Sahib, he studied under him for a period of 3 years. And during those 3 years, he would cook for him on a daily basis and developed a very, very close connection to Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. On many occasions, he would visit us in the UK, and he would also visit our house. On one occasion, he told my father, Mufti Shabbir Sahib, that I was not going to come to the UK, but I only came because I heard of your illness. And this was the akhlaq and the character of Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi as well. And there are many, many anecdotes and many, many stories. I remember in the year 2004, I visited Saharanpur. It was the month of Ramadan, in the final 10 days, with my respected father, Mufti Shabbir Sahib. Alhamdulillah, I also had the honor of leading Salatul Taraweeh in Sheikh's room. As I was leaving, my respected father said to Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, that make dua for Yusuf. So Sheikh put his hand, I was only 15 years old, Sheikh put his hand on my head, and he made dua, and he gave me some advice. And alhamdulillah, that advice was immensely valuable for me at the time, and even today. Sheikh said to me that you are about to embark on the final year of the Alim program. You are about to start the Dora Hadith in the UK. When you read the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, think as though that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking to you. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying something, when the Hadith comes that qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, think as though you are present and you are listening to the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and understand the Hadith from the prophetic lenses, not from the lenses of anyone else, not from a prejudged lens, and so forth. So Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi gave me this advice, and alhamdulillah, it was a very, very useful and beneficial advice. And alhamdulillah, throughout the years, I also had the tawfiq, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to assist Hazrat Mawlana Ayub Sahib to work on some of Sheikh Yunus Sahib's work in terms of Al-Jawaqitul Ghariyah. And most recently, alhamdulillah, with Mawlana Abdul Rahim Sahib, our teacher, we have been working on the Muqaddama of Sahih Muslim, the Arabic footnotes of Sheikh Rahmatullahi Alayhi, the Muqaddama of Muslim, and inshallah we will aim to publish this over the next few months, inshallah, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Inshallah. Mawlana, you want to take us through the illness of Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullahi Alayhi, his demise and his burial, for the listeners of the radio station, Mawlana?
Yes, Hazrat Sheikh Yunus Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi endured many, many illnesses over many, many years. In fact, since his student days, Sheikh Yunus Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi would remain extremely ill. In terms of the recent events that led to the demise of Sheikh Yunus Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, over the past few years, Sheikh Yunus Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi would remain ill. And a couple of years ago, 3 to 4 years ago, he fell extremely ill. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he granted him shifa, and he continued to teach. Over the past week or so, since Friday or Saturday, Sheikh Rahmatullahi Alayhi was ill, and at the time, no one envisaged that it was a life-threatening illness as such. So thereafter, on Monday, one day before Sheikh Yunus Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi passed away, I was just informed today that one of Sheikh Yunus Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi's close students and disciples, Qari Ayub Sahib in Saharanpur, he narrates that I visited Sheikh Rahmatullahi Alayhi a day before he passed away on Monday. And he confided in me and he said to me that someone came to me and they told me that don't do ilaj, don't undertake treatment, and otherwise you will remain in this illness, and therefore do not tell anyone, otherwise they will forcefully take me to the doctors, but I've been told that don't do ilaj. So Qari Ayub Sahib says that Sheikh said this, and in the morning, at approximately 9 o'clock or so, Sheikh fell slightly unconscious. They took him to the hospital. This is Tuesday morning that we are talking about. And on the way, or as he arrived in the hospital at approximately 9:30 a.m. local time, Indian time, Sheikh Rahmatullahi Alayhi's soul departed from the world. Thereafter, we were informed in the UK, it was approximately 5 a.m. in the morning, 2-3 hours before that, we had heard of the demise of Maulana Ismail Badat Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And I must mention one or two things about him. He was also a Khalifa and disciple of the Sheikh Maulana Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, an extremely pious individual. You would see him in Masjid Nabawi, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He would recite the entire Quran or more on a daily basis. He had a very, very special connection with the Sheikh Maulana Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, a very, very pious person indeed. So that news came to us at 2 o'clock in the morning. And 2-3 hours later, we were informed of the demise of Sheikh Yunus Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Subsequently, the janazah preparations took place, and the Muftiani Kiram of Mudahir Ulum Saharanpur and others, they gave ghusl to Sheikh Yunus Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Initially, it was announced that the janazah salah will take place in the courtyard of Madrasa Mudahir Ulum Saharanpur. Thereafter, given the number of people, it was decided to take place elsewhere, near the graveyard, and approximately at 6 o'clock, after Asr Salah, the janazah Salah was led by Hazrat Maulana Talha Sahib, the son of the Sheikh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. And subhanAllah, amazing, an amazing fact is that no relative of Sheikh, Sheikh has a few nephews, but they live far in Jaunpur or around Jaunpur. It takes time in India to travel. So no relatives of, no blood relatives or no blood relations of Sheikh Yunus Rahmatullahi Alayhi were able to participate in the Janazah Salah. Yet, according to some estimates, 1 million people, according to other estimates, 450,000 to half a million people participated in the Janazah Salah of Sheikh Yunus Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And subhanAllah, this is amazing. Only a few hours of notice was given. Otherwise, the Janazah Salah was on the following day. Alhamdulillah, many of students of Sheikh from the UK also travelled from Gujarat and from the UK, from the United Kingdom, but they were unable to reach in time for Janazah Salah. So despite the short notice, the sheer volume of people who participated in the Janazah Salah, 500,000 people to 1 million people, this just shows the level of acceptance of Sheikh Yunus Rahmatullahi Alayhi. We hear from the times of the past, the lives of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal Rahimullah, when his Janazah was taken in the streets of Baghdad, 800,000 people, Allama ibn Jawzi rahimahullah, have mentioned in his profile of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah that 800,000 people participated in the Janazah Salah of Imam Ahli Sunnah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. Likewise, Imam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Shaykh al-Islam, when his Janazah was lifted from the prison of Dimashq, of Damascus, 200,000 people participated in the Janazah Salah, according to historians. Imam Abu Dawood rahimahullah, Sulaiman ibn al-Ash'ah al-Sistani rahimahullah, the author of the famous Sunan, one of the six famous books of Hadith, when his Janazah was lifted, historians record that 300,000 people, they performed Salatul Janazah on him. So Alhamdulillah, this is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that such number of people were honored to participate in the Janazah of Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. Sheikh also made one or two wasiyah that the ghilaf of the Kaaba, the cloth of the Kaaba, I think Sheikh Rahmatullahi Alayhi had a piece of it, be buried with him. Alhamdulillah, that was also actioned, and some other wasiyats as well. The Janazah Salah took place, and yesterday, so this was Tuesday, and yesterday on Wednesday, there was a Ta'ziyati Jalsa in Mudahir Ulum Saharanpur, where a number of ulama, mashayikh, senior scholars, students of Sheikh and others, gave their ta'athurat, gave their insight into the life of Sheikh Yunus Rahmatullahi Alayhi.
Jazakallah khairan so much for your time, Morana. It was really a fascinating hour we had spent with you in the guidance of the scholars. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your father, and bless the ulama around the world. And we really are appreciative of your time this evening.
Jazakumullah for hosting us.
Ameen, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
One of those times whereby we have to admit we are unable to give the due right to the great luminary Hazrat Sheikh Yunus Rahimahullah. A person like me, worthy of nothing, doesn't even have the courage to speak about such great people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that there is a legacy of these people that can be loved by one and all. And we can take the message, the life, the teaching, the knowledge, the sincerity, the ikhlas, the zuhud, the istiqamat of such great people and personify it in our life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that these people, once they leave this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill the void with a ni'mal badal, a appropriate replacement for the ummah, because indeed the ummah is dependent on such of our great scholars of our time to be able to guide and give leadership to the ummah. Inshallah, we're going to try next week to speak about Maulana Badat rahmatullahi alayhi, who had also passed away in the same time, and inshallah we will try and get some family members and acquaintances that know Maulana to speak about the life of Maulana inshallah ta'ala. But for today, inshallah, we take leave from you, and as we are playing out, we listen to the clip of Sheikh Yunus rahimahullah, and thereafter, inshallah, we will close the program. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
یہ سامنے رد اور اس کے لیے حضرت مولانا سے میں نے کہا وہاں کی رد الگ تھا میں نے کہا خود میں پاسا بھی ایسا ہے کہ ہاں آپ جانتے ہیں کہ یہ مجرد انسان ہے میں یہ جاؤ بس اب تو یہی کرنا ہے تو عقل کرنا سب کچھ چھوڑ سال دیا اللہ دہی رس میں اب دیکھ لیں اللہ کی عنایت بچا ایک پیسہ پالس میں اور مجھے ضرورت تھی مہمان سے میں کہا اللہ میرا چلے گا کیسے تو دوپہر کو میں سویا دیکھا میرے دائیں ہاتھ کی ہتھیلی پر لکھا ہے ان اللہ رات میں سمجھ گیا کہ اللہ صاحب نے میرا جھیل پران کر دیا میں چاند سے کیسے آ گیا کہاں سے میں کہاں پہنچ گیا اپنی کہانی سنانے لگا اور یہ سوچتا ہوگا بنگالی گجراتی علی کو کیا نام اس کا نام
بتاؤ
گا ہاں یہی تو اسی کو میں کہہ رہا ہوں یہ سوچتا ہوگا میرے ابا نے توکل کیا تو میں نے بھی کر لیا میں کہ تمہیں چاہتی ہمارا میں نے بھی کر لیا توکل ایسی چیز ہے کر کوئی سکتا ہے نگاہ کوئی نہیں سکتا اللہ پر توکل رسک نہ ہوئے تمہاری خوبی توکل کے راستے میں حقیقت کا چلنا مشکل بن جاتا ہے جو کوئی کرے وہ 100% اپنے آپ کو اللہ کے حوالے کرے کی طرف کھل جاتا ہے بہرحال میں کہاں سے کہاں پہنچ گیا اور کیا سے کیا بیان کرنے لگا مجھے تو کتاب ختم کرنے کا مسئلہ بیان کرنا ہے بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمد للہ وکفا وسلام علی عباد المصطفى اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا المصطفى وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى ارحم من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء رواه أبو داود الترمذي ورواه البخاري في كتاب الكنى وقيل إنه رواه عند أدب الفصل ولكن إذا انطلع في نسق الأدب لا في المسموع للهند ولا في المسموع خارج الهند فلعل ذلك وقع لسقط في النسخة الله أعلم بلی اسلام مسلم حمیر مومنی کی حدیث ہے رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم امیر اللہ بخاری رضی اللہ عنہ قال باب قول اللہ تعالی عن الله عنہ وان اعمال من اعمال وقوله من وقال مجاهد القصاص والحمد للرومية وقال ربس والمسر المخصف وهو العالي وعن الخاصصه الهدائي وبه قال حدثنا عبد الاشكار قال حدثنا محمد بن ابراهيم عن عمر بن الخطاب قال ابي زرعه عن ابي هريره رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمه طعام حبيبه طعام الرحمن خفيفتان على اللسان خفيفتان في الميزان سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله وبحمده اسلام بخاري شريف تهذيب الملك بخاري شريف کے بعد بقول بقال حضرت محمد میں ہے لیکن مجھ کو اللہ محمد کے بجائے کتاب القنا میں بھی ہے اور کہیں ہوں گے اس حدیث کو وہاں سے تصدیق پڑھا گیا تاکہ آپ لوگوں کا اس حدیث کی خاص وصف میں اشتراک ہو جائے اور وہ وصف یہ ہے کہ یہ حدیث ہر شاگرد میں آج سے لے کر سفیانی نعینا کے بعد تک سب سے پہلے اپنے استاد سے سنی ہے اسی لیے اس کا نام مسنسد بالاولیت ہو گیا ہے یہ تسلسل ابن عینا پر سکتا ہے اس کے بعد اس کسی نے لکھ دیا یا تو اس کو خطا ہو گئی اور یا اس نے غلط بیانی سے کام کیا علامہ سفاری نے اپنے سلسل اولیت میں اس کی تصریح فرمائی ہے